Thanks for being with us today. I'm Todd Zwillick. President Trump shook up the national security world with a single tweet on Tuesday. The first part announced that CIA Director Mike Pompeo would replace Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. Tillerson had been fired in a separate tweet. And then the president named Gina Haspel as his choice to be the first woman to lead the CIA as director. Haspel is currently the agency's deputy director, and she has a long career in the CIA's clandestine service. That career included overseeing torture at a CIA black site in Thailand after 9/11 and also ordering the destruction of video evidence of that torture. Tim Weiner is author of Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA, and he joins me now. Tim, welcome.
My pleasure.
What did Gina Haspel's career look like at the CIA before 9/11?
She's 61. She spent more than half her life working at CIA. Always in the clandestine service. She served all over the world in stations in Europe in what the CIA calls denied areas, such as Russia, and throughout what the CIA calls the Third World. She rose to senior positions in the counterterrorism operation and the clandestine service, that's the spies worldwide, and in CIA terms, she would have had a stellar and untarnished career were it not for the months that she spent running the CIA's secret prison in Thailand.
Well, let's talk about that time, because that's a period in Gina Haspel's career that's likely to come out when she goes before the Senate to be confirmed. If she's confirmed, she'll be the first woman to lead the CIA. But let's talk about her role right after 9/11. What was her involvement in the CIA's torture program after 9/11?
In 2002, the CIA had set up a secret prison in Thailand on the edge of an air base in the north of the country. And into that secret prison landed Abu Zubaydah, whom the CIA believed and whom the CIA told President Bush was the number three man in al-Qaeda. Gina Haspel presided over his torture. He was waterboarded 83 times, buried in a coffin-like box, and really taken to the point of the edge of death. Haspel argued for tightening the screws on him, and the screws were tightened.
Was any useful information ever extracted from Abu Zubaydah?
Before he was tortured, he told the FBI interrogators talking to him, led by Ali Sufan, useful information. After the torture was applied, he said anything to stop the torture. And so the CIA derived false information by inflicting pain upon him.
And what about Abd al-Rahim al-Nashri, who's in Guantanamo Bay right now?
Same basic story. Maybe the screws were not quite as tight on him. But the key here is, A, that Haspel oversaw the torture of these guys, and B, 3 years later, she drafted the order destroying 92 videotapes of this torture.
And that order to destroy the evidence of the torture got the attention of Senate investigators and several senators, too. And that information, it seems, Tim Weiner, is likely to come back in a big way when she goes in front of the Senate to be confirmed.
Well, that's right. It was the destruction of the tapes that prompted Senate investigators to do the work that led to a 7,000-page report on CIA's use of torture, which has never been declassified. And we will now revisit this sorry tale during her confirmation hearings. I do not envy her that experience.
Well, President Trump has said that he thinks torture works, but more broadly, what signal to other governments do you think this nomination sends? Gina Haspel has a long career at the CIA. She certainly knows the agency, but being a central part of extraordinary rendition and torture, even though those things are now illegal under U.S. law, it seems to me will send a message to other countries now that she's been nominated for this top post. What will that message be?
The fact is, in the 15 years since this torture took place, Gina Haspel has rocketed up through the ranks of CIA. That sends a message. It tells the world that the president wants a CIA director who conducted torture and that he thinks it's a great idea. That is a stain on the honor of the United States.
Are CIA personnel divided on their views of Gina Haspel? And I ask it because CIA personnel seem to be certainly divided on the legacy of this era that you're describing. Many of them, of course, believe and know that they were executing the orders of the commander-in-chief or doing what was necessary. Many CIA personnel think that it was a black stain, as you say, on the agency itself.
Well, I think the CIA rank and file are probably happy to have a professional officer, one of their own, in power. It rarely works out great when politicians are appointed to direct the CIA. And I think they will close ranks behind her. I also think, you know, here we are. The CIA is now more than 70 years old. This is the first woman ever to rise to the top of the chain of command. I think it will be difficult for some senators to beat her up during her confirmation hearings on that score. But I think if John McCain is healthy enough, McCain having served more than 7 years as a prisoner of war, a man who is unalterably opposed to torture, if Senator McCain ever knocks heads with Gina Haspel, that will be one for the ages.
Well, Tim, before we go, clearly we're about to revisit the era of torture in the CIA and in the war on terror. That's all going to be made public again, at least what's not classified. What do you think the country is going to gain from reprising all this history when Gina Haspel inevitably comes before the Senate?
Well, this will be the first open discussion of this terrible chapter in our history. And good for us for finally getting around to this 15 years after the fact. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible episode. And yet the CIA can say, as a Nuremberg defense, we were just following orders. Well, that didn't work too well for the Germans after World War II, and I think it won't work that well for the CIA today.
Gina Haspel to be nominated, according to President Trump, to lead the CIA. Senate hearings ahead of us. Tim Weiner is author of Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.